Take your Bible out this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 43 out of 51. And just looking for an encouraging message this morning. We have a lot going on in the world, and God just put upon my heart, let's do an encouraging message. And I trust that that's what this would be, that God, we have found him. I've entitled this based upon the verses of Scripture we find here in John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Tonight's passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at Jehovah Ra'a, and the Lord is our shepherd. Wonderful, wonderful truths tonight as we look at that. And again, the Bible Club on Tuesdays will postpone that starting on June 1st, and we'll kick back up June 1st and doing some of the church membership stuff at that time. But you're welcome to come even if you're not looking forward to that. And what is church? John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51, if you follow along with me as we read. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let us go to the Lord and ask for his blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before your word this morning, Lord Jesus, I need your help. I need your direction in my thoughts, in my words, and I speak. Lord, I pray that you would encourage hearts. I pray, Father, that this message would truly embolden us in the truth that we have Jesus Christ. We found him. And Lord, what wonderful truths, what wonderful words are stated. And Lord, I pray that every person has found him and made him their Savior. Lord Jesus, I also pray that you would be with those who do not know you, God, if they haven't found you. Lord, they're still searching in their heart and their mind. They are not certain that they have you as their Savior. Lord Jesus, I pray that this morning they would settle that and they could definitively say, we have found him. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. On a dark night about 100 years ago, a Scottish missionary couple found themselves surrounded by cannibals intent on taking their lives. On that terror-filled night, the couple fell to their knees and prayed that God would protect them. It was a horrible time. Intermittent with their prayers, the missionaries heard the cries of those outside and imagined them coming through the door to take their lives. As the sun began to rise, to their astonishment, they found that those natives were retreating into the forest. This is over here in Africa. New Hebrides, this missionary is John Patton. As the sun began to rise, to their astonishment, they found that those who were coming against them were retreating into the forest. The missionaries were absolutely amazed and filled with the joy. Their hearts soared to God. It was a day of rejoicing. The couple bravely continued their work. A year later, the chieftain of that tribe was saved. As the missionary spoke with him, he remembered the horror of that night and asked the chieftain why he and his men had not killed them. The chieftain replied in response, Who are all those men who are with you? The missionary answered, There were no men with us. It was just my wife and myself. The missionary answered, so he goes on. The chieftain began to argue with him, saying, There were hundreds of tall men in shining garments with drawn swords circling about your house, so we could not attack you. End quotes. Think about this very truth as that with John Patton and his wife there in the New Hebrides Islands. And there amongst some people that were seeking to kill them, and they were seeking to bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this chief would understand and come to the acknowledgement that he found Jesus Christ as his Savior, it changed him. But on that very night, John and his wife, Patton, they found Jesus Christ who helped them in the promises. There is nothing in our life that will so transform us and change us as accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But in order to accept Jesus Christ, you have to find him. In today's passage of Scripture, the finding of Christ, the promised Messiah, would change the life of a man who was looking for him. The finding of Christ for any person demands a response. And based upon our response, when we find him, what are we going to do with him? And so as we look at these truths today, our attitude of finding Christ ought to be that of faith and not skepticism or worse, rejection. The whole theme here in John chapter, the book of John is John chapter 20, verse 31, if you want to look at it. This is the theme of the book of John. John chapter 20, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because, I'm in John 19, let's try that again. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And this morning, the principle to follow is come and see Christ and follow him. We have found him. The answer is found, verses 45 and verse 46. Philip findeth Nathanael, and he says, we have found him. Now, Bethsaida means literally a house of hunting or of game. It was probably situated on the banks of the Sea of Galilee and supported itself by hunting or fishing. It was the residence of there of Philip and Andrew and Peter. You can find that in John 1:44. It was enlarged by Philip the Tetrarch and called Julia after the emperor's daughter. The person of interest here in John 21:2, they were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. The sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Nathanael was of Galilee. One of the things is the statement. I want to give you a little quote here on the statement of we have found him. This is an amazing statement. We have found him. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Philip said, adding for further identification. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We note that he began by describing Jesus as the one who fulfilled all the scriptural requirements for the Messiah. Nathanael was evidently a man who knew the Hebrew scriptures, and it's possible that Philip and Nathanael had often pored over the prophetic pages together. They knew that the Messiah was to be a scion of David's royal line, that he was to be born in Bethlehem, that he was to be born of a virgin, that he was to be a sojourner in Egypt for at least a time. That he was to be identified with the northern part of the promised land. All these details were fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, end quotes, David Sorensen. And it is a remarkable statement. You really find this statement, as another person would state, Jesus had met the needs of the craving of his heart. Here was Nathanael looking for the promised Messiah. And they've had the prophecy of a Messiah that's coming, and the disciples found him who was so long prophesied by Moses. I want to look with me at Deuteronomy 18. When you think about this, hundreds of years of prophecy, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And yet here he stands before Nathanael. Think about that. Put yourself in Nathanael's position. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Here's a great prophecy, verses 15 through 19, of the Messiah, the prophet. And here, going back to our main passage, Moses would clearly distinguish there is a permanent Messiah coming. Think about this. We have found him. How about the prophets? Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 through chapter 53, verse 12. I'm not going to read that, but if you'd like to, the prophets foretold of a coming Messiah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, letting him know that he's going to be from Bethlehem, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. These disciples, and here they are in the very early ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's gathering unto him his 12 disciples. Philip says, Nathanael, we found him. Can you imagine the emotion that we have found the Messiah, the Savior, he who created the world, he who stooped to earth as a human, he who came as a virgin. He laid aside his glory. It didn't change him, but he laid it aside to assume the character, the position of a lowly carpenter. Gee, this is my Savior, this is your Savior, and he who is above all stooped to be with us all. And here before Nathanael and Philip is that very man. Philip would have known of the scriptures. He would maybe had known Jesus' parents. And my friend, our problem, our world's problems, is not, our answer to it is not found in anything here. It is found in Christ alone in the statement, we have found him. Think about this, that they are right there proclaiming that 1,000 years of prophecy stands before my very eyes. Think about it. Jesus is before you. Imagine, what would you do? I mean, you have a thousand years of prophecy is right before your eyes. Jesus Christ. Philip is just overwhelmed with the joy. Philip couldn't contain the importance of the message. We have found the Messiah. He says, Nathanael, I want you to know him. I want to introduce you to him. And there's a statement here. He says, we have found, and that word found there in the Greek grammar is kind of like a completion of an action. This prophecy that has come, he definitively states, here he is before us. That all those prophecy, he's found. The very grammar of that word is letting us know that all of this perfectly established before my very eyes. And it actually uses the perfect tense. In most frequent use, the perfect indicative represents an action as standing at the time of speaking complete. Think about that. We have found him. That statement, as I began to contemplate and think upon those words, those four words, we have found him. It ought to resound in us as the answer to each of our problems. How about Acts chapter 4, verse 20? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Or Acts 22, 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Philip definitively states, under no uncertain terms. It's not, I think I found him. I hope I found him. We might have found him. No, he is stating, we have found him. The foundation is established. There is no other. We found him. And we want to think about several truths of Scripture. I want to take you to this idea that Christ is the fulfillment of all my needs. Would you look with me at several passages of Scripture? John chapter 15, verse 11. John 15, 11. When you think about that statement, we have found him. They knew, I mean, Isaiah talks about, come to heal the brokenhearted. We found him. We came to find the one that will cleanse us from our sins. That's the one we found. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Is that the one we found? Absolutely. How about John 16, 24? Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I found him. How about Romans 14, 17? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I found him. Psalm 16, 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Yeah, I found that one. Isaiah 12, 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's the exact man I found. He's right before me. I mean, as I put my mind and tried to wrap it around this scenario, of Philip saying, just how mind-blowing that would be. That prophecy is fulfilled before your very eyes, giving legitimacy even further to the truths of Scripture. But we find something out. Many times, when truth is right before us, what do? Verse 46, we have a propensity to doubt. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Nathanael would have known of Nazareth's reputation. Here's a little bit of background for you on that. The answer is the people of Judea held the people of Galilee in low esteem because of a mixture of Gentile ancestry, backward manners, coarseness of dialect, and lack of sophistication, end quotes. Another gentleman says Nathanael, a Galilean, exhibits this local prejudice against Nazareth, which seems to have had a poor reputation. Was Nathanael perhaps hedging for time? Jesus the Messiah, the son of Joseph? Surely not. From Nazareth? Impossible! Nazareth in the Gospels lived up to its reputation. It was the first city to greet Jesus' claims with violence and was ready to put him to death on the strength of just one day's exposure to his teaching. He was actively hindered in ministry there because of the town's scornful rejections of his claims. Nazareth? My answer is found in Nazareth? Surely not. Lord, how could you? How can he who came of a virgin out of Bethlehem, of the line of David, I mean the kingly line, how could he, the answer before my very eyes, come from Nazareth? And we have a propensity, we have an inclination to doubt. And Nathanael's concept of the Messiah was based on societal influence. He would envision the Messiah coming from a more noble place. You know what, you and I, we can be very fickle. We can have some preconceptions of way things ought to be. We establish our idea and concepts of people and places based upon cultural norms. But oftentimes these beliefs that we have about the Bible is influenced by our culture, not by the Word of God, simply put. The very ardent denier of Christ will not receive the established truth because it contradicts their worldview. And Nathanael is on the cusp of saying, my answer is not before me. If you were to look at the Romans chapter 1. Look with me here. I want to show you the humanity's mentality many times. Is to say, I have not found him. I'm still looking. Why would we do such a thing when you understand that he would check the mark? I mean, he'd check the boxes of every box of prophecy right before them. Think about it. What if prophecy is fulfilled in our day? I mean, we're looking forward to the rapture, and I believe it's very soon. When? I don't know. But what if it happened in our day? Would I say, you know, for us as Christians, we're out of here. But for others, those crazy Christians. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God, which he had promised afore. Notice with me, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, Jesus was promised. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's them. That's the one that stands before Philip and Nathanael. Look at me, verse 19, though. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Nathanael is saying, Lord, who you are before me, it just doesn't fit in with my idea of what it should look like. How do you deal with biblical truth that is presented to you? How do you deal with Jesus Christ? Have we found him or have we added him? And I mean added him is just religion. Or have we found him who is the answer to my life's problems? I found him who fulfilled over 300 prophecies. That's the one I found. But you want to know something that's quite amazing. Nathanael, upon initial inspection of Jesus, rejects him. But even someone who had been with him further had rejected Jesus after so long of being with him in Matthew 16, 21, if you'd like to turn with me there. Think about this. Peter's been with Jesus Christ for almost 3 years. And what Jesus is telling him, he rebukes Jesus, Matthew 16, 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord! This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter here is saying, I didn't find him. I didn't find the one who is the answer, the one who's my Savior. No, I didn't find him. Ideally, that's what he's saying. When we are confronted with the truths of God, what is our reaction? And our reaction is not to find loopholes. It's not to find the caveats. It's to sensibly denounce the great truth. Our responsibility is to shout with a hearty amen, we have found him. Why is it difficult for us to believe that prophecy could happen in our era? The prophecy of the scriptures are not placed in the holy word of God for just religious tradition. The words in this book that we have found are not here for us just to get a good sense of grins and giggles in life. It affects our day-to-day operations. It affects our eternity. We have found him! Exclamation mark. The very promises of Scripture to let us know what's coming and what has come. One gentleman, John Phillips, says it would seem from the form of the sentence that Nathanael had actually been right underneath a fig tree. As you'll find Jesus say, I saw you under the fig tree in leaf about this time, possibly looking for privacy in which to ponder and pray. The Lord's subsequent words imply that Nathanael had actually been thinking about Jacob and the Genesis story of Jacob's ladder, Genesis 28:12. Thinking about the night of Jacob's conversion, the Lord revealed to his to this thoughtful man, Nathanael, his own infallible ability to read an individual's soul and thoughts, as well as his ability to see him at a distance and in a place where he had secluded himself in order to be alone. By the very statements that Jesus is talking about, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. This is our attentive focus. And here in verse 48, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus says, I know you. You didn't see me, but I saw you. You know what he's saying? I am the Creator God. I know your very thoughts. And the very statements he makes seems to indicate, and I can't definitively state this, but it seems to indicate that perhaps there under the fig tree, there is Nathanael reading the scriptures about Jacob's ladder and Jesus, and with whom is no guile. And that also talks about a traitor and treacherous, and much like Jacob was, a trickster. But I'll talk about that shortly. But nevertheless, he's exclaiming to Nathanael, I see your thoughts. So when Philip says, we found him, here is God in the flesh, God incarnate, God in the flesh before me. In Proverbs 5, 21 to 23, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. But the very thing for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. Jesus is saying to Nathanael, not only did I see you, I saw your thoughts. And there are a number of statements in Scripture that indicate that God sees our thoughts. Proverbs 15:3, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And it goes on, but he knows our thoughts. The one you think you found has so elegantly revealed himself to humanity, and he didn't come as a conquering king, but as a consecrated sacrifice. So when I make the statement, I have found him, I'm saying a thousand years of prophecy right here, Philip is saying, is fulfilled before my eyes. How about Psalm 139:7? Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? God's saying to Nathanael, I see your thoughts. He notes Nathanael as a Jew in whom is no guile. That word guile means to take advantage through craft and underhanded methods, deceit, cunning, treachery, trickster. So when Psalm 139 verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. When God says, I knew you when you were just conceived by you and your mom, or you and your mom and your dad, or whomever your parents conceived you, I knew you. And he's saying, Nathanael, you're a Jew of no guile. You're not of treachery. You're an honest man. He is definitively stating again, Jesus Christ is, Nathanael, I know your thoughts. Wherever you're at in your life, and you might be thinking you can hide a sin, you can hide your actions, you can hide what you're doing, no one knows about it. He who is found, he knows. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according the fruit of his doings. So Christ reveals that he knows the motives and the ways of Nathanael. He sees him. It's enough to say, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree, but to say, Nathanael, a Jew in whom is no guile, he's saying, Nathanael, I know your very heart. That has such an awe-inspiring impact upon Nathanael that he realizes, he calls him Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. You're the promised one. You're the King of Israel. One gentleman states, notice that our Lord said Nathanael was an Israelite in whom was no guile. He put deliberate emphasis on that word because Jacob, the Old Testament patriarch, was Israel, and he was full of guile. He was a scoundrel who loved God. God worked in his life until finally, after wrestling with God, Jacob was renamed Israel. Jesus was saying that Nathanael was an ideal Israelite before guile had gone out of his life. Nathanael was evidently an Old Testament believer like Simeon and Anna, who was looking for God. The Lord knew Nathanael's character before he met him and said he was a guileless man. How could Jesus know? That thought must have flashed through Nathanael's mind, beautiful revelation. And to that, Nathanael cries out, Rabbi, Master. The word rabbi means Lord or Master. It's a form of address of an honorary title addressing a teacher of the law, of a great one, literally my great one. And used in the New Testament as a respectful address for a scribe or one as a teacher of the law and recognized as their expertise. And here is Jesus, perceptively just a lowly carpenter from Nazareth, and yet Nathanael comes to the realization, I found him. When Nathanael cries out, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, he declares Christ as the promised Messiah and the seed of David. And he's been waiting for this moment his entire life. Remember John 1:18? No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Here they see him, him who is incarnate, God incarnate, in the flesh. Incarnate is in the flesh. John 1:34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I want you to look with me at several of the believers who had been looking for him. They hadn't seen him as an adult, but Luke chapter 2. The awaiting believers of Simeon and Anna, as they would look for him whom their heart searched for. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Verse 25 of Luke 2, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verses 29 to 32. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. So Mary and Joseph come with Jesus to the temple, and Simeon sees them. And then verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Think about it. Simeon says, I found it. How about verse 38 going on to Anna? And she coming in that instant gave thanks. Here is Anna, who's a widowed for very many years. She's quite elderly. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise in the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. She comes in, she sees Jesus and Joseph there, and she just realizes, I've found him. I found the redemption of Israel. Christian, I want to ask you, when I make the statement, I am a Christian, do I live out the truth that I have found him? Our faith cannot rest upon that which is tangible only, but upon the work of God in our lives. It's upon faith. Nathanael realized who stood before him, and only after seeing physical display of evidence. We've got to live our lives simply upon the scriptures. And I want to ask you the question, have you found him who's the answer to your life's problems? Not, I think so. I think this is what I'm dealing with life. No, I need to ask the question, have I found him? Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works in the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. I need to say, I found him. I'm going to commit my works in the Lord and it will guide my thoughts. And even the teenage Mary, mother of Jesus, would immediately believe in Luke 1:44-45. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And the very fact remains, there's a belief. Elizabeth and Mary, and a belief. You know what God is looking for? Simple faith. I have found him. How about Luke chapter 7, verses 8 through 9? The Roman centurion displaying a simple faith. And here in this passage of Scripture, the centurion says, Jesus, you don't need to go to my house. All you need to do is speak the words. You know what the centurion's saying? I know you're the one. You're the one that fulfills prophecy. Here's a Gentile revealing that Jesus was a fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus had the answers. You know what, it's so easy at times that the Scriptures of God, the Bible, can anesthetize us to God working out his promises in our lives. Just as Nathanael, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Are you kidding me? Nazareth. And I can let the culture dictate what I believe and why I believe it. Rather than the Bible says, this is what the Messiah is going to be like. This is who he is before me. He matches perfectly. I found him. And you know what? This revelation, this truth, it ought to transform our lives. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. When I state the statement, I have found him, I found him who is my hope. And then something amazing happens here. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I come to my third and final point this morning. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know what? God doesn't look upon where I came from. God looks on my heart. God knows the thoughts I'm reflecting upon. Nathanael understands who Christ is based upon his foreknowledge, but God can do amazing things in our lives if I'll just recognize I found him. And what this did to Nathanael when Christ revealed himself, it gave a hope for life. The found one gives hope. Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, the hope laid up for you in heaven. Nathanael realizes, you know what? As God reveals himself, Jesus Christ reveals himself, I found him who's my hope. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can have hope. But not only is it a hope for the present, it's a hope for the future. Look with me at John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Philip, hey Nathaniel, I found him. I found the one. He's the hope of Israel. He's the hope of the world. Not only did I find him, he stands right next to me. It's a glorious appearing. And Christ was calling Nathanael to follow him and not stop at receiving only a truth of his thoughts and perceptions. There are grand things with the Lord, but our reception of these blessings constitutes following him whom we found. One gentleman in David Sorensen says, interestingly, in Jacob's latter dream, he saw angels of God ascending and descending from heaven. Perhaps God gave Jacob a prophetic preview of what evidently is a kingdom event, and tying all of this together as an application, finding Christ has the blessings of God for now and in the future. Finding Christ is just the beginning of better things to come. Finding Christ is not a mystical experience or religious action. It is the meeting of the one who loved you and died for you on the cross. And this morning I ask you, have you been looking for him? Have you been looking for truth and spiritual wholeness? As I come to the conclusion, I want to bring for you an illustration of looking and being evaded, finding unable to find that which you're seeking for a long time. For more than 30 years, archaeologist Howard Carter searched the deserts of Egypt for something that most people thought didn't exist, the tomb of King Tutankhamun. Most experts believe that everything in the Valley of the Kings had already been discovered, but Carter continued his search. Eventually, after 5 more years without result, Carter's sponsor, Lord Carnarvon of England, declared that he would stop funding the research. In November of 1922, during his final season of work, Carter uncovered a hidden staircase near the tomb of Ramses VI. He sent a cable to England which said, at last, I have made wonderful discovery in Valley, a magnificent tomb with seals intact. Carter had indeed located the tomb of King Tut, one of the greatest archaeological treasures ever discovered. After months of careful work, the golden treasures of the tomb were cataloged. When the first intact royal mummy ever found was removed from the place where it had rested for more than 3,000 years. Carter's search was driven by his firm belief that there was treasure to be found, though he could not be certain that he was correct. Unlike Carter, we have an absolute guaranteed result of success and great reward if we search for the wisdom of God. Notice the certainty of the promise. If we receive God's word, if we cry out for it and seek it as treasures, hunters do for precious metals, we will surely find what we seek. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And here in this search of Carter, the archaeologist, looking for King Tut's tomb, he found it. You know what? We found something eternally more valuable than just the tomb of a dead man. We found him who lives forever. And this morning I ask you the question, have you found him? Have you found the one who gives you eternity and holds your future in your hand? Have you found him who cares for you? Have you found him who is preparing a place for you in heaven? Have you found him? Do you know him? If you do not, just like Philip did with Nathaniel, I'd like to introduce you to him this morning. If you're a Christian, Christ is waiting to show us greater truths. If you only trust him and live by faith. What an amazing statement Philip made. 4 words, him, and he could get up and make a statement, the shortest speech ever given. We have found him. And then he could sit down. because he who was the promised one stood right before them. And you know what, Christian? We have the testimony of him who was found. We have the testimony of him changing lives for hundreds of years, thousands of years. I found him. Many of you have found him. But when you found him, how does he change your life? Does he give you the hope and the joy? Do you want to know him more? Does he have to reveal things to you? Much like he did. He said, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. This morning, I want to ask you the question, when you found him, what do you do with him? The first question to ask anyone